We're here with Bram Weinstein, the brand new radio voice of the Washington football team. Bram, I'm sure you knew before yesterday, but the world found out yesterday. Very exciting that a local boy makes good. How do you feel, and what was your reaction?
I got offered the job about 10 days ago, so I've been sitting on what I describe as a grenade for about a little while. My mother knew about it. And, you know, as you know, in media, we don't like to talk about these things until they're done because you never know what's going to happen with them. And to make her not tell her friends for 10 days was excruciating for her. But listen, I was the 6-year-old kid who pretended to be Frank Herzog. So this is the literal dream come true. And I've been emotional about it, and it's been amazing. And I'm beyond excited for the opportunity.
And it sounds like it has hit you. Sometimes with these kind of things, they don't really hit you fully, but it sounds like it has kind of hit you. So you get the meaning of this for you personally, for your family, and for your and all your friends and fans out there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's it's funny. When I went to ESPN in 2008, once I got there, one of the things I started really pushing my bosses on was I wanted to do play-by-play because I wanted to do this job. Like at some point in my life, and I knew I needed some experience with it, and I didn't get a lot, we can talk about that if you want. I didn't get a lot of it, but I did get some, and I'm thankful for that, for happening, because this is the kind of, I've been very lucky. You know, when I grew up, I wanted to be Glenn Brenner, and I got to be on SportsCenter. And when I grew up, I wanted to be Frank Herzog and John Miller, and now I get to do that. And it's so, trust me, like this has been a very emotional, couple of weeks, being this close to it and then being named it feels quite surreal, honestly. But I'm really, really excited. And, and I'll say this up front too, like I'm really appreciative of all the attention, I'm getting for it. From here forward, once these couple of days are over, I want this to be about the team. Like I don't want anyone ever like thinking that those broadcasts are about me, because it's not. Like I'm the fans, I'm you. I love the nostalgia of this team. They are probably the thing that I've spent more time thinking and talking about outside of my family in my life. And I'm hoping that I just uphold the traditions and nostalgia of the team in a way that people are happy about.
Is it wild to think that, when you said when you were a kid, you wanted to be Glenn Brenner, you wanted to be Frank Herzog. Now little kids can want to be you. Is that a little weird?
It is weird. It is, it is strange. Like I said, this is getting the attention for it. I know it's weird to say that because I've been on TV and radio for a long time, but maybe I'm not actually a real major attention seeker type of person. So it's been actually a little bit embarrassing, the last couple of days to get the level of attention that I've gotten for this, but I'm so appreciative of it. And 90% of it's been very positive, there's the 10% who, whatever, but and that's fine. That's fair game. But, it's largely been, really nice. And then, I'm getting these crazy notes, there's friends of mine I went to elementary school with that are going, I think we talked about this in 1980 when you were 7 in my basement, things like that. Or like another one who said, I think we pretended to call Maryland games when we were 5, like things like that. So it's really kind of unreal. And it's been a really crazy week. And I do hope that, that if there are little kids who were like me when I was little, I would hope that they would send me a note and send me a letter, because I would love to talk to them about my experiences and hope that it shapes anything for them.
And you said about the 10%. I mean, you're doing pretty well if there's only 10% that are maybe, critical.
Maybe I'm being optimistic.
Very well.
Maybe it was 50%, but I'd like to think
I'm sure it was only 10%. But I wanted to ask you, how difficult will it be? Now, we assume there's going to be a season. Well, we can't assume anything. At this point, there's going to be a season. There won't be any fans. It was announced today, at least at the beginning of the season. If there's a season, if you're calling games, how difficult will it be for you not to use the R word to describe the team?
I'd like to put a big giant jar in the booth, and every time there's a slip up, I will stick some money in it and pick a charity by the end of the year and give it to a charity for the slip ups. So, it's funny, like there's two things there with that. They're going to be, it's unusual enough. The three of us have never done this before and we're going to be doing it. So that's unusual. We're going to be doing it in a stadium with no fans, at least at home. I don't know what's going to happen on the road, whether we're going or not, because, we'll have to see what the situation is and what the NFL thinks about that, but no fans. And as you know, having produced television for a long time, that's the soundtrack of this. like the real emotion behind all of it is hearing the fans in the background, good or bad. Right. And so that's going to be interesting. We have to talk through that. We haven't had any discussions about it, but do we pump in fake crowd noise? I don't know. You don't have to think about that. I don't know. Certainly, you know, a priority for me, and I think a priority for Julie as well, is we know that like there should be a lot of people there that aren't, and we want them to feel included. And I don't know how we're going to go about doing that, but we want people to know that we're your eyes and ears, but we wish you were here too. And hopefully in 2021, things will get back to normal. And the other weird one that's really going to be, when you talk about the name, every touchdown that's ever been scored in my lifetime is followed by a song that we all know. And that's not going to happen. So that's strange to me too. And so there is a lot of newness here. I'm excited though. You know, I couldn't have asked really for a better time to do it, because they're changing everything. I mean, they're changing the name. The coach is new. There's a real new energy there. And we're new. And I'm hoping that what we build is going to be modern and different, and people are going to take to it and they're going to like it. And secondarily, like, I also hope that, you know, all the nostalgia of this team and the traditions, they matter to me. You know, they really matter to me. And while everything is changing, I think they should still matter to everyone as well. We don't want to lose the past. And I'm hoping I can be a bridge to that for some people.
We don't know what the new team name will be. You must have a preference on what you would like it to be. You going to share that with us? We won't tell anybody.
I actually want them to keep Washington Football Team. But that's, you know, that's just my preference. And I have no inside knowledge at all about what they're thinking. All I do know is I don't think this is going to happen fast. Like, I believe they're going to get through this entire season before you hear any decisions, and maybe even longer. But I don't know that for a fact. But I don't think you're going to hear a change before the end of the 2020 season. But I kind of like this. You know, I was very attached to that name. I know times have changed, and I know it was time to make a change, but I also know, you know, that we collectively never thought about it in those terms, right, and never intended it that way.
Right.
And, you know, there are a lot of traditions attached to it, and, you know, if they don't change the name, it never was changed. So, you know, I don't know if there's merit in that or not, but I'm okay with the way it is right now. I like the look. I think that they kind of kept what is an old school look, kept the colors. I think that was important too. And we'll see where they end up, but they're going to, you know, they're going to utilize this year to really think about it. And they should. All the people who thought like that you should just turn around and change a name overnight of a multi-billion dollar brand, that's a little ridiculous and short-sighted. Like, you don't want to get this wrong. So I think they're doing the right thing by thinking this through and giving this idea, Washington Football Team, a chance to take or not take with the fan base and see what everyone thinks about it.
Sure. You mentioned Julie. Julie, of course, is Julie Donaldson, who I worked with for a few years at Comcast Sportsnet, now NBC Sports Washington. You know her, D'Angelo Hall, the former Washington Football Team defensive back. What do you think the chemistry is going to be like? What will be the dynamic of that booth? How different will it be?
I think it's going to be very different. It's hard for me to answer that question now because we've literally not been together to even start really talking through how it's going to work. But so I could probably answer that better in a month, you know, but we're approaching this very differently. And that's another reason why I was really excited about this. Like you mentioned, I don't have a deep background in play-by-play, so that there's going to be a learning curve for me to learn that part of the craft, and I embrace it and I'm excited for it. That said, we're not really initially envisioning this in a standard traditional format. Like, this is clearly needs to be a radio broadcast. So the people who aren't there and in their cars and want the eyes and ears, like, there needs to be description. And so that's going to happen. But we're also going to stream this, and we're viewing it. And what I was really excited about was her vision for all of this when she came in was a much more modern, inclusive, socially oriented show that could double as a second, as we say in the business, a second screen experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time for that. You know, like the reality is, you know, I think this team needs to kind of reach out to its fan base again and bring them back into the tent. And younger people consume media very differently than they used to. Go watch a Twitch broadcast of esports and you'll see, like, they're garnering massive audiences in a very different way than the way traditional sports have presented themselves. So I think there's a massive opportunity here to do this differently. And really, you know, my best skill set, which I hope will be play-by-play at some point, is being conversational. You know, and so this isn't going to be a sports radio show because the game's going on, but there's going to be elements of that. And I want Julie to lead that charge. and I want to, you know, help facilitate it. But it does take some of the burden of, like, what we like to say in the business, the heavy lifting off of the play-by-play voice. And I think that you're going to see something new, and we're, it's going to take a little while, but I think over time, the vision is correct that, like, we need to modernize. We need to present something that a younger group of people are not only more accustomed to, but will want to be a part of and be included in.
All right. So I know you got to go. So I just want to go back in time, just again, a little bit more. So you actually were on Channel 21 back in the day, as we like to say, which is where I work, Montgomery Community Media. Yep. So at that point, I know you were you had aspirations and you had pretended years before to be something. But is that, how much time have you spent thinking about those days and now what you're doing now and how cool that is?
I mean, you know, like when I was a kid, I wanted to be on TV in Washington, D.C. and on radio in Washington, D.C. And I was very lucky to be in an area. It had Glenn Brenner and George Michael and Steve Buckhantz and Frank Herzog on television. John Miller was calling Orioles games. Tony and Mike are in the Washington Post. Like, it was amazing amount of talent that I got to sit as a kid and watch, you know? I think I begged you for a job at Fox 5 probably 15 times.
Right? I think I approached you, actually.
Probably. And so, you know, when I first, you know, my first job on air was at a small station in Nebraska, an NBC affiliate. And then I came back, and this was the first opportunity I had, and they let me run with it. Like, I got to be the sports director, not just the sports anchor, but the sports director. And it really shaped a lot of the things that I got to do. And granted, it was, you know, hyper-focused on the local teams. So I was doing a lot of high school football, a lot of the high school sports. But it gave me an opportunity to make decisions. How did I want to construct this? Who did I want to be on air? Because it was the first time that I was just given kind of free rein to do that. And to do it at home gave me a lot of confidence. And it led towards all these other things. So it was really an important time. Very rarely does someone that age get that kind of freedom to do what they want to do. And I was trusted very quickly by Kevin Jolly at the time, who was the news director. And, you know, listen, this is all very emotional for me, you know, this week. And like, I feel like there's a debt of gratitude for all of the people along the way who paved the way for me to have an opportunity like this to even make it possible. And Channel 21 was a big part of that.
So Montgomery County native, Springbrook grad, AU grad, ESPN grad, Bram, I wanted to thank you for taking a few minutes with us today. Wish you the best of luck, and we will all be listening. And I'm sure what you, Julie, and D'Angelo are going to do is going to be cutting edge and fun and great. So thank you very much, and really congratulations.
Joe, you've been a good friend for years. Thank you so much.